Section 3. Christianity and Medieval Society.
If you were there. You are a stone carver apprenticed to a master builder. The bishop has hired your master to design a huge new church. He wants the church to inspire and impress worshipers with the glory of God. Your master has entrusted you with the decoration of the outside of the church. You are excited by the challenge. What kind of art will you create for the church?
Building background. Thousands of churches were built across Europe in the Middle Ages. People took great pride in their churches because religion was very important to them. In fact, Christianity was a key factor in shaping medieval society. The church shaped society and politics. Nearly everyone who lived in Europe during the Middle Ages was Christian. In fact, Christianity was central to every part of life. Church officials, called clergy, and their teachings were very influential in European culture and politics. The church and society. In the Middle Ages, life revolved around the local church. Markets, festivals, and religious ceremonies all took place there. For some people, however, the local church was not enough. They wanted to see important religious sites, the places where Jesus lived, where holy men and women died, and where miracles happened. The church encouraged these people to go on pilgrimages, journeys to religious locations. Among the most popular destinations were Jerusalem, Rome, and Compostela in northwestern Spain. Each of these cities had churches that Christians wanted to visit. Another popular pilgrimage destination was Canterbury, near London in England. Hundreds of visitors went to the cathedral in Canterbury each year. One such visit is the basis for one of the greatest books of the Middle Ages, The Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey Chaucer. Chaucer's book tells of a group of pilgrims who feel drawn, like many people, to Canterbury. When in April the sweet showers fall, and pierce the drought of March to the root, then people long to go on pilgrimages, and palmers long to seek the stranger strands of far-off saints, hallowed in sundry lands, and specially from every shire's end of England, down to Canterbury they wend. Geoffrey Chaucer from the Canterbury Tales. The Church and Politics. The Church also gained political power during the Middle Ages. Many people left land to the Church when they died. In fact, the Church was one of the largest landholders in Europe. Eventually, the Church divided this land into fiefs. In this way, it became a feudal lord. Of all the clergy, bishops and abbots were most involved in political matters. They often advised local rulers. Some clergy got so involved with politics that they spent little time dealing with religious affairs. Monks and friars. Some people were unhappy with the political nature of the church. They thought the clergy should focus only on spiritual matters. These people feared that the church had become obsessed with wealth and power. The monks of Cluny. Among those unhappy with the church were a group of French monks. In the early 900s, they started a monastery in the town of Cluny. The monks of Cluny followed a strict schedule of prayers and religious services. They paid little attention to the world, concerning themselves only with religious matters. The changes at Cluny led to the creation of a religious order, the Cluniac monks. A religious order is a group of people who dedicate their lives to religion and follow common rules. Across Europe, people saw Cluny as an example of how monks should live. They built new monasteries and tried to live like the Cluniacs. Other new orders. By the 1100s, though, some monks thought that even Cluny's rules weren't strict enough. They created new orders with even stricter rules. Some took vows of silence and stopped speaking to each other. Others lived in tiny rooms and left them only to go to church services. Men were not the only ones to create and join religious orders. Women were allowed to join these kinds of orders as well. Communities of nuns, called convents, appeared across Europe. Like monks, these nuns lived according to a strict set of rules. The nuns of each convent prayed and worked together under the watchful eyes of an abbess, the convent's leader. Although monks and nuns lived apart from other people, they did a great deal for society. For example, they collected and stored texts that explained Christian teachings. Monks spent hours copying these documents, and they sent copies to monasteries across Europe. The friars. Not everyone who joined a religious order wanted to live apart from society. Some wanted to live in cities and spread Christian teachings. As a result, two new religious orders were begun in the early 1200s. These orders were the Dominicans and the Franciscans, named for their founders, Dominic de Guzman and Francis of Assisi. Because they didn't live in monasteries, members of these orders were not monks. They were friars, people who belonged to religious orders but lived and worked among the general public. Friars lived simply, wearing plain robes and no shoes. Like monks, they owned no property. They roamed about, preaching and begging for food. For that reason, friars were also called mendicants, from a Latin word for beggars. The main goal of the friars was to teach people how to live good Christian lives. They taught people about generosity and kindness. A prayer credited to Francis illustrates what the friars hoped to do. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Francis of Assisi, from The Prayer of St. Francis. Universities are built. While some people were drawing away from the world in monasteries and convents, others were looking for ways to learn more about it. In time, their search for knowledge led to the creation of Europe's first universities. Some of the earliest universities were created by the church. The church's goal was to teach people about religion. Other universities were created by groups of students who went searching for teachers who could tell them about the world. Most teachers in these universities were members of the clergy. Besides religion, schools taught law, medicine, astronomy, and other courses. All classes were taught in Latin. Although relatively few people in Europe spoke Latin, it was the language of scholars and the church. As people began to study new subjects, some of them developed new ideas about the world. In particular, they wondered how human reason and Christian faith were related. In the past, people had believed that some things could be proven with reason, but other things had to be taken on faith. Some people in universities, though, began to wonder if the two ideas could work together. One such person was the Dominican philosopher Thomas Aquinas. Thomas was a teacher at the University of Paris. He argued that rational thought could be used to support Christian beliefs. For example, he wrote an argument to prove the existence of God. Thomas also believed that God had created a law that governed how the world operated. He called it natural law. If people could study and learn more about this law, he argued, they could learn to live the way God wanted. The church and the arts. In addition to politics and education, the church was also a strong influence on art and architecture. Throughout the Middle Ages, Religious feeling inspired artists and architects to create beautiful works of art. Religious architecture. Many of Europe's churches were incredible works of art. The grandest of these churches were cathedrals, large churches in which bishops led religious services. Beginning in the 1100s, Europeans built their cathedrals using a dramatic new style called Gothic architecture. Gothic cathedrals were not only places to pray, but also symbols of people's faith. As a result, they were towering works of great majesty and glory. What made these Gothic churches so unusual? For one thing, they were much taller than older churches. The walls often rose up hundreds of feet, and the ceilings seemed to reach to heaven. Huge windows of stained glass let sunlight pour in, filling the churches with dazzling colors. Many of these amazing churches still exist. People continue to worship in them and admire their beauty. Religious art. Medieval churches were also filled with beautiful objects, created to show respect for God. Ornate paintings and tapestries covered the walls and ceilings. Even the clothing priests wore during religious services was attractive. Their robes were often highly decorated, sometimes with threads made out of gold. Many of the books used during religious ceremonies were beautiful objects. Monks had copied these books carefully. They also decorated them using bright colors to adorn the first letters and the borders of each page. Some monks added thin sheets of silver and gold to the pages. Because the pages seemed to glow, we use the word illuminated to describe them. Summary and preview. Besides its religious role, the church played important roles in politics, education, and the arts. The church changed as time passed. In the next section, you will learn about other changes that took place in Europe at the same time. These changes created new political systems around the continent. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.